Condo Cranes and HOAs is intended as a resource guide for education, information, and entertainment purposes and is not intended to supply specific legal advice. The information that you hear should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a professional attorney. The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based on advertising or the information you hear today.
Condo Craze and HOAs, sponsored by attorney Eric Glazer, founder of Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm helping associations and owners throughout the state of Florida. If you'd like to be a part of the show today, feel free to chime in with your questions or comments, 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610. For AT&T Wireless customers, you can email the show at any time, even during the week, at condocraze@wiod.com. And don't forget, check out our brand new website, condocrazeandhoas.com. That's where you can learn lots more about the show, write in your questions and comments. Listen to all our past shows. If we talked about something a couple of weeks ago, even a couple of months ago, that you might want to refer back to, we've got all that for you right there on the website. You can also click on the Facebook link and catch up with all the discussion boards going on there, and see who the show's sponsors are, and visit all of their websites, too. We've got the links right there at condocrazeandhoas.com. Kind of set up a marketplace for condo and HOA listeners, a one-stop shop for all your association's needs. You know, we ran a best of last week. You guys were out frolicking in the islands and left me back here in stormy, rainy, flooded South Florida.
Somebody got to mine the ship, Jerry.
Well, how come it's always me?
Well, it is nice to be back after a week off. My wife and I did have a great time on a short cruise. And this time, believe it or not, I didn't even bring any files with me to work on, if you could believe that. If I can just throw out my cell phone next time, my wife may even agree to go out with me again.
Your cell phone works in the Bahamas?
Yes, it does.
See, he didn't learn the thing. You need to turn the power off, Eric. That's all you have to do. Put the power off, put it in the safe, and never look at it.
Christy, does your cell phone work in the Bahamas?
It all depends on who you ask.
It all depends on whose name comes up on the call screen?
No.
Yeah, mine does work over there, so I can't even escape without shutting it off.
The charges are just astronomical to use it over there.
Just don't tell my wife there's an off switch on the phone.
Not for right.
Yeah, you'll be in big trouble.
All right, on our last show, we spoke about that new condo bill that was expected to be passed by both the Florida Senate and the Florida House, and sure enough, it was passed early this week, and now it's heading over to Governor Chris Stess for his signature. But until he actually signs it, though, it's obviously not going to become a law. So rather than spend a bunch of time on it today, I think it's a good idea that we simply wait until he signs it. And remember, he vetoed a similar bill last year because it extended the time period for the high-rise condos to install the fire sprinklers in their common areas. And this bill, again, does exactly the same thing by extending the time to 2019. So, notwithstanding all the time that went into getting the new law passed, he may veto it again, although it's probably not likely. But, again, let's see if he signs it. And if so, we'll spend a bunch of time, you know, telling our listeners what the new laws actually say or doesn't say. But I can tell you, on balance, it really doesn't do all that much, and I think some of you are going to be disappointed.
Eric, I actually agree. I'd be very surprised if the governor vetoed it, because the bill really did have that bipartisan support. You know, and I also agree with you that everybody that was waiting for a change, you're going to keep waiting, because I don't think the bill offers that much of a change this time around.
Right.
You know, I got to think that he would be afraid to alienate a few million condo residents right now in light of everything going on in his world. I mean, he's in the middle of changing parties being party-less,
right?
You know, pretty much. And there's something to say for the independent. Don't go there, Rush. and, you know, the fact that, you know, our coastlines are about to be, you know, flooded with oil,
right?
You know, and stuff. But
yet another new problem on the horizon.
Right.
Condos that are underwater.
Oh, man, that is... Yeah. It hasn't even scratched the surface yet, the magnitude of problems that's going to bring to not only Florida, but Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, if the wind blows right, Texas.
Yeah, there's a chance that it's actually going to turn the corner around Florida and head up the East Coast.
That's what they said about an hour ago.
Right.
Because of the Gulf Stream and because of the winds. And like Christy said earlier when y'all first got here, if you like shrimp and oysters, get them now.
Yeah, right.
Get them before they're all gone.
You know, here's the bottom line. He's probably going to sign it. It's certainly expected that he's going to sign it. But again, as you say, Jerry, politics is sometimes unpredictable. One minute you're a Republican, the next minute you're independent. So until it's signed into law, right now it's really just a bunch of suggestions and nothing else, and we'll wait and see actually how Governor Christie is going to go.
But, well, he's got it a little better than the governor of Alabama right now.
Oh,
I think.
Rad, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you guys remember a few weeks ago, some people were angered by my suggestion that condo meetings be conducted in English. And if you remember, I even told the audience a story that I attended board meetings that were conducted solely in French. And, of course, I had no idea what my own clients were saying. And, of course, many of the people and our listeners were somewhat surprised to learn that there wasn't a law on the books that would protect an English-speaking owner from requiring that his own board conduct the meetings in English so they can actually know what's going on in their own home. Well, again, I'm sure our listeners are aware of the controversy brewing in Alabama with the Republican candidate for governor. He's running on an English First campaign, and he's vowing that if elected, the state's driving exam will only be given in English. Believe it or not, right now it's given in Arabic, Chinese, English, Farsi, French, German, Greek, Japanese, Korean, Russian, Spanish, Thai, and Vietnamese in Alabama.
Eric, I did see that, but from a different standpoint, I think his attitude is actually a safety issue, and I'm actually going to stand up for him on this point, because if the street signs and the warning signs and danger signs, like do not cross, you know, dead end,
stop,
you're going to fall off a cliff.
Stop, go.
Exactly, are all in English, then why? What's the point of allowing it to be taken in a whole other language if they don't understand English to start out with?
Right. I mean, now, I can understand New York being so diverse, or maybe, you know, South Florida. I don't know anyone, you know, that speaks, you know, Chinese or Korean or Russian, you know, that doesn't also speak English here. But Alabama, I mean, you know, being from the South, I can say this. You can't, being from New York, you're not allowed. But, you know, I thought there were only two languages in Alabama, Southern and more Southern.
Well, you know, that raises a potentially whole bunch of different war issues that are going on in Alabama right now. And a real interesting legal question. In Alabama, if you get a divorce, right? Are you still brother and sister?
Yeah. Oh, he just went there.
No.
Just
no,
kidding.
No,
we love Alabama.
This is coming from the New Yorker.
Yeah, no, watch the phones light up.
Yeah, that's why
Alabama.
I say he's not allowed to say it. Now, I can say something like that.
I'm a South Floridian, so I can say it too.
Bottom line.
I love South.
It's just a joke.
Well, a native South Floridian crosses all ethnic borders.
Exactly. Right, I'm good to go.
So you're safe. You're good.
But here's a guy running for governor that simply believes the state exam should be given in English. And again, it brings us back to where we left off a few weeks ago. Should condo and HOA board meetings be conducted in English? Now, I have no problem if the board wants to be courteous and conduct the meeting in more than one language, as long as one of those languages in English, so the unit owners actually know what's happening.
And even if it's not in English, Eric, there should be some kind of interpreter, because I still to this day remember being with you there at that all French meeting and walking out when it was over and kind of saying, what the heck just went on there?
Right.
Because I had no clue what they talked about. I couldn't even give you any kind of information on whether it was what went on was legal, because
yeah,
it was so...
No, we walked out not knowing what was going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lawyers at the meeting representing the association, and we had English-speaking owners who really were outraged. They could not believe that they just left the board meeting, their annual meeting, no less, and not a word was conducted in English. So,
well, to this day, I still, Eric, would never, if the DBPR had come to me and said, hey, Christy, you know, did everything go on the meeting according to law? I'd be like, to be honest, I can't tell you.
Exactly.
Well, great wine and cheese, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I bet the food was good, right?
Yeah. Anyway, what can I say? Like anything else, you got to take the good with the bad, right? But I bet you didn't know this. While we were on vacation, Florida actually won a new award in our absence.
Because you were gone?
Yeah, oh, no. Yeah.
There's two less lawyers in Florida?
That's not why we won the award.
Eric, other than what Jerry's saying, please tell me something prestigious. I've had too many downfalls lately.
Yeah, not quite prestigious. Florida once again was rated the top state for mortgage fraud, according to a report released Monday by LexisNexis. Florida also held the top spot in 2006 and 2007, but believe it or not, was replaced by Rhode Island in 2008. New York was in second place behind Florida, followed by California. And, of course, the most common form of fraud in Florida, skyrocketing incidents of appraisal fraud actually being nationwide.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, Florida having the highest rate of appraisal fraud in the country.
Rhode Island?
Rhode Island.
Was every mortgage a fraud in Rhode Island?
Those evildoers in Rhode Island.
I mean, there's only 12 people that live there.
And all of them apparently are engaging in some sort of fraud.
They must be if they're going to surpass New York and Florida, who, you know, there's millions and millions and millions and millions and billions of people in New York and Florida. And little tiny Rhode Island stepped up to the plate.
Yep, that's right.
Wow. That's because we probably shipped a lot of people up there, so.
Yeah, well, the appraisers again, just one piece of the pie. Lots of people contributed to the mortgage fraud, including borrowers, brokers, and believe it or not, it pains me to say it, even some lawyers who have actually been arrested in that regard. So let's hope next year we win an award for an entirely different category when we take a break next time. So one more bit of interesting news to share, I guess, before we go to a break. Earlier this week, a condo president in Hollywood was arrested for using the condo's bank card to withdraw $46,000 from the ATM machine while at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
No.
Okay, I just have to stop here because I, like everybody else, love Hard Rock. I love Gulfstream. I love getting out there and doing that stuff. But why? Everybody should ask themselves, why in the world did the condo have an ATM in the first place? I mean, there's really no reason to have it. You've got the checks. Not only that, but Eric, where were the other board members? I mean, how many other members were there? They didn't look at the bank statements? Come on.
Yeah, no, I agree. Good point. There's never a reason, never, for a condo or an HOA to have an ATM card. And I can tell you, it's always been a source of controversy in so many condos that I represented over the years. There's always accusations that they were used for improper personal purchases. And bottom line, if the condo wants to pay for something, it should be done by a check, which is signed by two board members. Period. That's it. End of story.
That just floors me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they trusted this person with the bank card. And goes to the Hard Rock?
Yeah. Worst part wasn't it like penny slots? I mean, how do you get rid of like
$46,000 in penny slots? Yeah.
She'd be playing for a long time, I would hope.
Well, believe it or not, even though she was so well-loved and so well-trusted, you know, Bernie Madoff was the nicest guy in the world, too, by all accounts.
Right.
But, you know, you don't put all the power into the hands of one person. And running a successful board obviously requires some teamwork. And in every condo that this happens to, and I can tell you it's happened to a bunch of condos, over the course of my career, that have been stolen from, and it happens because nobody was watching the nice guy. It's always the nice guy, and people are always, you know, couldn't believe it. Who actually wound up stealing?
You know, a guy kills six people in a house, and the neighbors say, "Oh, he was so quiet."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, it's always the quiet ones you got to watch out for. Right. It's those of us that make noise that are pretty safe.
There you go.
Eric,
you
know? it's funny because you mentioned the ATM, but it's also important to bring up the fact that the fraud does exist with checks. It does exist with all, you know, just funneling funds out. You've seen it so many times in your career. So it's not just an ATM card. Everybody should be monitoring their bank accounts.
Yeah. Wow. Actually, they say their books and records were audited by an accounting firm. And that accounting firm may have something to answer for. Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting.
I guess so. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and take your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 if you have an AT&T wireless phone. Or you can email us, condocraze@wiod.com. It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. It's Condo Craze and HOAs. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Hester alongside attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. And we are taking your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 for AT&T wireless customers. Or you can email us at condocraze@wiod.com. Let's get right to the phones. Gary's on. Hi, Gary. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Okay, thank you. Our condo association had a couple die. The condo passed on to a nephew or a cousin. We're not sure what the legal connection is. He, in turn, immediately stopped paying the maintenance, assessments, property taxes, and mortgage. He allowed his son to move into the condo without our approval, and his son has four or five friends that are also living in the condominium. And we want to know what course of action we have for trying to get them out of the unit.
Okay, this is, you know, not uncommon when the owner of a condominium unit, you know, dies and the expenses of the condo don't start getting paid. You mentioned that the foreclosure is not getting paid. The unit actually went into foreclosure.
Yes, Citibank has been there and they've hung three notices on the door of the condo.
Okay, so probably what's going to happen, it may simultaneously work its way through both a foreclosure proceeding and a probate proceeding. But eventually, there's probably going to be a personal representative appointed for the estate, and that personal representative is going to find him or herself as a defendant in a foreclosure lawsuit, either by the mortgage company or perhaps your own association wants to get the ball rolling and file the foreclosure action, because maybe you guys can do it faster than the bank can do it. But really, you're naming the estate, and you're probably going to wind up serving the personal representative of that estate. Just because someone dies obviously doesn't mean that the expenses can continue not to be paid forever.
Yes, and I mean, that's one issue. But I mean, to allow his son to move in here in the middle of the night and have three, four, five of his friends, I mean, it's basically like a flop house.
Right. Does your association have the right to screen and approve people that move in?
Yes.
Okay. If you do have that right, then potentially you can file a court action. It couldn't go to arbitration, but it could be a court action to actually prevent these people from moving into the community unless and until they go through the typical screening process. But the fact that it's in foreclosure doesn't necessarily mean that you'd be able to keep them out for that sole reason. In other words, if they went through the proper channels, you know, they may in fact be allowed to stay there until the foreclosure process winds its way through the court.
Yeah, they never filled out an application. They never interviewed with the board, being that the son or the cousin of the deceased is the executor, I guess, at this point. He, in turn, just arbitrarily allowed his son, in turn, to move into the unit.
Right. Well, you can probably take care of not only that action, but also the foreclosure action all in one lawsuit. You know, rather than waiting for the bank to finish its foreclosure action, the association can be the plaintiff, sue everybody that's in the unit, and sue to continue a foreclosure on behalf of the association.
Okay.
And get it in front of a judge, try to get the people out, and try to get the unit sold.
So we need to get what kind of an attorney would be best for this?
I don't know, Christy. What do you think? What kind of an attorney would be good for this? I don't know.
I know a couple.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, no, this is what we handle these types of incidents all day long. If you'd like to give us a call at the office, we can help you out. 877, the number 4, Condo Craze.
And even if you don't choose our firm, definitely stay with somebody that knows condominium law, because they'll know how to go about it and the best way to actually move forward to foreclosure the quickest.
Yeah, and speed it up, exactly.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Let's talk to Charles. Hi, Charles. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hey, how you doing today?
How are you, Charles?
Hi, good. Okay, I live in a condominium in Coral Springs, which is part of a gated community, which has our condo association and a master association. Four units to condo. There's a unit. We were mandated. I put my shutters up years ago, but we were mandated that every one of the 67 units have hurricane shutters. Everyone in the community does, except one home where the owner is partially in residence, partially not, is choosing not to put up the shutters. The director of our condo association is doing absolutely nothing, and the master association is doing absolutely nothing. Here comes hurricane season. This unit is directly attached to mine, and my concern is, of course, if hers goes, mine will go with it. Do I have a recourse?
I think the association is the proper entity to force that unit owner to actually put up the shutters, and I can tell you what I found over the last few years is that even if one unit owner holds out,
yeah,
and fails to put up shutters or, you know, hurricane-resistant windows,
yeah,
that the condo association is precluded from getting a discount on its insurance rates.
Precluded from getting a discount.
Right. So I can tell you that this is something, not only to protect you, but this is something that the association should be all over this unit owner on. Because
so
I can,
are they mandated to do this within the bylaws?
Well, again, if your association has passed, if your board has passed a resolution requiring that shutters be put up on every single...
And everyone did.
Right, and everybody did it, and this is the lone holdout. And yes, they should absolutely move full steam ahead, sue this person, get a court order requiring them to comply, or they may have the right, and I got to check the statute, to actually do it themselves. And,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, and put, okay. Yeah, and pass the expensive same onto that unit owner. But it should definitely be done if for really no other reason other than a safety issue. They can probably get a huge discount on their insurance if they can show the company that every single window in the building is actually shuttered. Yeah, it could save them literally tens of thousands of dollars.
Not only that, but we talk about it every, you know, show that it is in the fiduciary duty of the board to protect the association.
Right.
And by failing to do this, in fact, if you put them on notice and something actually happens where your unit is destroyed or something, then you can actually... Exactly.
Right.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
you should definitely...
In touch with you.
You should definitely follow up.
I will. Thank you very
much. Okay, no problem. Thanks for the call, Charles.
Thanks, Charles. We need to take a break for news, and when we come back, we'll take more of your calls, 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 for AT&T Wireless customers. Get you right through to Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. I'm Jerry Hester, along with attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips, taking your calls today at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 for AT&T Wireless customers, or you can email your questions at condocraze@wiod.com. Let's get right back to the phones. It's Jason. Hi, Jason. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hi. How y'all doing today?
How are you, Jason?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. Had a quick question. It's actually a two-part question, possibly depending upon your answer to the first part. I purchased a condo in a building, and prior to me purchasing the unit, the building made an amendment to the condo bylaws. Originally, the condos were allowed to be rented out short-term for at least seven days. Now, they made an amendment to the condo docs to allow them only to be rented out for 30 days or more. My question is they grandfathered in the existing people that owned before a certain date. Is that legal to do that, to, like, exclude some people while not excluding other people?
Yeah, well, here's generally how the law works. Restrictions that a board of directors makes on your right to rent your unit only applies to those people who have voted in favor of the amendment, right, or who purchased their unit after the amendment has actually been recorded. So it seems to me category B, because you purchased your unit, amendment was actually recorded. So unfortunately, it sounds like you're stuck with the amendment.
Okay. Now, even if they don't specify anything in the amendment that certain people are grandfathered in, they can still do that.
It's actually by way of statute. The statute states that if they voted against it, then they're immediately grandfathered in. They don't even have to state in the bylaws that they are grandfathered in. So the person before you probably would have been grandfathered in up until the point where they sold their unit. And as long as the bylaws were recorded prior to your taking title, then you are bound by them.
Okay. So just one more quick question. I understand what you're both saying, but kind of what you said conflicted a little bit. So if someone, just for my own reference, I realize where I'm at, but if somebody, an owner owning prior to the amendment would have voted, let's say you have one owner that votes for it and one owner that votes against it.
Right.
And they're both owners prior to the amendment. Is
right.
one owner grandfathered in and the other not?
That's exactly right. The one that doesn't vote in favor of it is actually grandfathered in. He can continue to rent out his unit. Those new rental restrictions won't apply to him. It's exactly right.
If he voted against...
Yeah, the way the statute reads is as long as he didn't vote in favor of it.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I appreciate y'all's help.
No problem, Jason. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason.
Let's talk to David. Hi, David. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Yeah, I have a question. My upstairs neighbor, they had a leak from their bathtub, and it leaked down into my condo, and the roof collapsed, and the walls are all molded behind the sheetrock, so I'm going to have to replace the tiles. Are they responsible for that through their insurance if it wasn't coming from actually inside the wall, it was coming from their tub, or do I need to contact my insurance?
Yeah, you probably need to contact your own insurance. Why? Because, like anything else, you would need to prove that what they did negligently. You know, how are you going to prove negligence? For instance, if they knew it was leaking and you told them to fix the leak and they ignored you and it continued to leak and then your ceiling collapsed and mold ensued as a result, then you can say they were negligent because you told them about the leak and they didn't do anything about it. But if it's simply, you know, a one-time event and they had no idea that their unit was leaking, nor should they have known, then it's difficult for you to prove negligence. And again, they may not be responsible. But regardless, you now have in your walls, it sounds like there's mold, right?
Yeah, and even though it was from their, their bathtub, they're not responsible. I have to take care of that through my insurance?
No, you see, now you have to check your declaration of condominium and figure out where those walls are, because those walls may be common elements of the condominium, and therefore your association may be responsible for that repair.
All right.
And not necessarily you.
Usually in most of the decks, Eric, if I'm not wrong, most of it's the drywall into the wall.
Right.
It's usually the association. So you'd be responsible for the repair to the tiles on top of the drywall or the paint, something like that, as long as your declaration says that. Then the association would be liable for everything from the drywall in.
Yeah, but there's a good shot that the association has to replace the walls. Okay?
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, David.
Okay, interesting email that came in while we were on the break, and I'll read it. It's from Jeanne, and she writes in, I went through a Chapter 7, and my debts were discharged. I signed a document to surrender my condo. The stay is now lifted. I live in the unit, and I continue to pay association fees. I guess that's a good thing. Chase Bank sent me a letter that I was in default, but nothing else happened. And here's the interesting question. Is there a way to drag out the foreclosure process, such as a strategic default or any other means, or do I not have any options because I signed the surrender form?
Eric, before I even get into this, I'm throwing this one to you because you don't want to hear what my answer is.
Well, wait a minute. She concludes by saying, love your show. It's very informative. So before we tell her what an evil person she is to even think this way, I just wanted to get the fine comment she made about the show. But is there a way to drag out the foreclosure process for a month?
Forever.
If you have and be able to keep you in there for a while, but it's not our goal on this show to tell you how to go about doing that.
And again, that actually gets back to that whole article that was in the Miami Herald or the Sun Sentinel in regards to morals and how people are just walking away.
It was the Sun Sentinel, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Is there a moral obligation to pay? Let's assume for the purpose of this email that there is, so I'm not going to go on the air and tell you how to violate payment obligations to your mortgage companies. Simply won't do that. Apparently, you surrendered your unit. A bankruptcy trustee is going to figure out, perhaps what to do next, or the foreclosure by the bank is simply going to keep going forward, and your house will wind up on the courthouse steps, for sale at some point.
Or on the courthouse website, or however they're doing it this week.
Right, exactly.
It does look like the stay was lifted. So, if you're really interested in actually trying to make payments and do a loan modification or something, you can go into the judge and ask for possible mediation. But just if you go into a judge and say, Your Honor, I'm just not paying, that's definitely not the thing to do nowadays because the judges are not happy to hear that. Yeah. They want to see some payments being made.
Yeah.
Just so our listeners understand what that means, when a person who owns a unit in a condominium files a bankruptcy, there's something in the law called an automatic stay. What that means is under federal law, any collection efforts against that unit owner is stopped. It's halted. The foreclosure process comes to a halt. And the only way the foreclosure process can continue back in the state court is if the bankruptcy judge lifts that automatic stay. So it appears in her case, again, that the stay has been lifted. And that foreclosure by the bank is probably going to start itself up all over again. And eventually, whether it be this month, next month, or 6 months from now, you'll have to deal with the fact that the unit's going to be sold.
And it might actually even pursue, and it might actually happen quicker, being the property was surrendered.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Let's talk to Doug. Hi, Doug. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hey, how's it going today?
How are you, Doug?
Got a question. It's maybe a few months ago, maybe in like close to a year ago, one of our condo meetings, because I don't really get to attend a lot of them, they were saying that we had to get a special type of insurance that would handle special assessments.
Okay.
And so say we have to replace the elevators, and each condo owner is going to have to pay $2,000. This insurance would cover that special assessment, so we wouldn't have to come with it out of pocket, and we'd actually have to name the association on the policy.
Right. Okay.
I think it's like an H-12 or
yeah.
I don't know if I have the number right. Is that law?
Okay. Interesting time to ask that question because the statutes the new laws that were passed this week but yet to be signed by Governor Crist clarifies a lot of this. And if you buy such insurance, and again, that's the question, if you buy such insurance, that policy is going to have a provision in there covering you should your condominium pass a special assessment, and it's going to cover you for up to $2,000. Okay, but the question is, do you have to buy that insurance? Is it required? And again, the way the new statute reads, no, it doesn't look like it's going to be required to purchase. And it used to be that if the association would have a right to ask you for it, and if you don't produce a copy of that policy, they can buy it for you. Well, that's now going to be stricken as well.
Because that's one of the things they said they were going to do. If we didn't, they would just buy it for us. And we've never bought it because, I mean, I know as stupid as this sounds, we don't have homeowner's insurance for our condo because the mortgage only requires the structure, which
exactly.
is noted under our maintenance. So we would actually have to get a policy just to
right.
Well, a lot
with the association.
A lot of the statute, when you read it, it actually, a lot of the insurance companies are incorporating the special assessment into the homeowner's insurance. So if you purchase, you know, interior insurance on your condo, majority of the time that's just going to be tacked on to the homeowner's without you even knowing about it. That's the way it's been going on.
It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's built into an existing
right,
home.
Exactly.
And to be honest, sometimes I think it's a lot better to take that risk and get the insurance because if you have a leak and your deductible is $500 and then you have a special assessment for $2,000, it's paid. So it pays itself off. And I don't know how many people I tell to go ahead and get the interior insurance because I know I wish I would have on my condo.
Oh, yeah. No, one storm and one special assessment. The policy obviously pays for itself. No two ways about it.
Gotcha. Hey, guys, okay. You have a great show. Thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks again, Doug.
Hey,
appreciate
thanks, Doug.
It.
Thanks. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and wrap it up. If you're on hold, please sit tight. We'll get back to you right after this on Condo Craze and HOA's News Radio 610 WIOD. Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. I'm Jerry Hester alongside attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. Taking your calls as always at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T wireless customers. Or you can email the show anytime during the week even, condocraze@wiod.com. Let's talk to Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hi, I'm really enjoying your show. The question I've got, we own a condominium up in Fort Pierce. In the adjacent unit, the people defaulted on the mortgage and were evicted 3 years ago. It was a Washington Mutual mortgage, which has been absorbed by Chase, but they have never completed the foreclosure process. As an owner, is there anything I can do to try to expedite that?
Well, so are you saying right now that the unit's basically been vacant for 3 years?
It's been vacant for 3 years.
Really? Okay, that's bizarre. And your association attorney can't figure out if the bank needs to speed up their foreclosure or whether or not your own association should initiate a foreclosure proceeding?
Yeah, I know that. I don't know if the board is doing anything. I don't know if the – I think the property management company is trying to expedite these banks to complete the foreclosure process. But in this instance, since it was Washington Mutual absorbed by JPMorgan Chase, I think they feel like they're pushing on a string and they can't get any response.
Well, I think – and, Christy, you can chime in if you want. If you can – if your association thinks that they can possibly get title to this unit and then rent it out, and
right.
you know, potentially make money each month by renting it out, because obviously
right.
you're losing money every month because the association fees aren't getting paid.
Correct.
So why don't you guys, why doesn't your association step up to the plate, foreclose on the unit, right, and get title, rent it out, and eventually when the mortgage company figures out what in the world they're doing, then they'll foreclose. But if this is going to drag on for another year or two, your association in the meantime could rent out the unit and collect rent every month.
Or the other option, Eric, is possibly to do the motion for status conference and get in there and actually try to get the bank in front of the judge to explain why they're taking so long. The judges definitely want to hear that.
Right. I mean, there's options. Just to feel like you're in the dark after 3 years is simply not an option. You know, there's things you can do to move forward.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, no problem, Dave.
All right, great.
Thanks,
care.
Dave. And Michael is on line one. Hi, Michael. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hey, I appreciate it. Listen, I know this is a different kind of question, but I'm a newly licensed CAM, and, you know, I find myself kind of frustrated because every time I go to apply for a job for a condo association or a property management company, they're telling me that, you know, you have to have a minimum of 3 to 5 year experience in order to qualify for the job. How do you possibly get that if no one's going to give you an opportunity to start? I'm a realtor, mortgage broker, title agent, you know, I have all the background property management, and, you know, I decided that going to the CAM, get a CAM license would be the next logical step. you know, in my career, but I'm finding it very difficult to get hired.
Right. Well, it is definitely a different type of question that we're used to, but you seem like an ambitious guy, someone who's trying hard. First, send your resume my way. I can tell you that there's a lot of condominiums that sometimes don't like to go the company route. They like to have in-house people. And that might be one way. Maybe you're looking in the wrong place. Maybe you'd rather submit your resumes to condo associations rather than condo management companies. You know what I'm saying? Contact them directly. In other words, should you be looking for a manager that's not affiliated with a company, hey, I might be your guy. Here are my qualifications.
Right.
Okay, I mean, that might be one way, but of course, you know, that's the age-old question. How do you get the experience if nobody will hire you, you know?
Right, how can you get credit if nobody will give you credit, you know? It's the old Murphy's Law.
Frustrating at best, but, you know, if there's any assistance or guidance you can give me, I'm just trying to get gainfully employed here and start my career.
Yeah. Well, again, I'd try to contact the associations directly rather than go through, you know, companies.
How would you acquire a list of the associations?
There's all the associations you can find in several different ways. One is simply by going on Sunbiz. You can type in the name of any condo association. The name and address will come up. The DBPR has a list of every single condo association broken down by city, municipality. And you can get it on simple Yellow Pages or Yahoo. You type in condo associations and it'll come up the same way. So you might want to do some direct marketing of yourself.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
No problem, Michael. We wish you a lot of luck.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you very much.
And it just let me correct myself. That was a catch-22, not a
Murphy's Law
thing.
Yeah, chicken of the egg
It's a Sunday afternoon.
I haven't had nearly as much rock star and sweet tarts as you as you have had.
It gets me going. What can I say?
All right, let's see what else came up. Another email while we were on the phones from John. John doesn't say where he's from, but he asks, is the assessment insurance only for storm damage or any assessments? No, it would have to be related to the actual a hazard of some point. In other words, if you have insurance covering your unit and the condo association wants to put in a new jacuzzi, Jerry, for instance.
On my porch?
There you go. That wasn't damaged as a result of a storm. No, your insurance coverage, from my understanding of the law, would absolutely not cover such an assessment. Okay, so it's got to be related to some storm-damaged event.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going to cover anything that the board passes just because it's, you know, time to make a repair. It's got to be related to what was originally covered under the policy. Okay? So, on to the next thing. We got about maybe 2-3 minutes to tell an interesting story that's also in the news. You know, Jerry always reminds the staff here at WIOD that if they learn of, like, complicated legal issues that are in the news or questions or comments about condo law that require real in-depth analysis, critical thinking, and are truly of overwhelming public importance, they got to let Jerry know immediately so that we can pass this valuable information on to all of you, our listeners, without any hesitation, without any delay. So with Jerry's staff keenly aware of their assignment, Jerry, tell us what our crackerjack staff of legal researchers came up with this week.
Well, you know how we tell our listeners over and over again, and we've been saying this for, what, almost 9 months now, that you can't be a nuisance to another owner. Well, in Germany, maybe the laws are different, I don't know, neighbors lodged repeated noise complaints against a couple in their building for exceptionally, and I quote, exceptionally loud sex noises that kept them up at night, and the landlord had them evicted. Now, the landlord is quoted as saying, and I quote again, the frequency and tremendous volume of their screaming and moaning can be heard in the entire house and is no longer an acceptable nuisance. The 25-year-old father and mother and their two small children must now leave the apartment, and they've already found a new place to live. Hopefully, their new place has a little thicker walls.
Yeah, nice. So this is what our staff came up with here. We got condos going broke, governors changing parties, new condo laws, president stealing money, and our staff came up with noisy sex.
Well, it's news, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, well. It should be news, but I guess it's really not. I mean, it's not really more news. It's more jealousy on the other party, I think. Like the 25-year-old mother and father, come on
it
now.
It may not be news for all our listeners, but it's certainly news for some of our listeners, like in Century Village, you know. Maybe they just learned they have to tone it down.
Eric, let me tell you something. Century Village is probably one of the best ones out there for this, so I wouldn't even go there. I hope I'm there one day.
All right, I'm gonna get our crack researchers back on crack, and I want to have this couple on the show.
Oh.
That,
I agree.
That's going to be their newest song.
I will be here for that one, even though Eric probably won't want me, but I'll be here for that one.
Wait, you know, if we have them on the show, we're going to have to do one thing.
Speak German?
No, remind our listeners to turn their radio down.
Oh, jeez, you went there.
Oh, my gosh.
No screaming and yelling.
It's come to this, hasn't it? An hour ago, we were legitimate. We were a family show, like Will just screamed in my ear. I mean, we had morals, we had credibility, and it's all come to
this.
And
now you got jacuzzi, speedos, and loud noises at night in the room.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Sex sells.
On that note, we will take a break, and we will come back next Sunday at noon after we all go home and think about what we've done today. If we didn't get to your call, please feel free, call the law offices of Glazer & Associates at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE, or email the show anytime during the week, condocraze@wyod.com. And don't forget, check out the new website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Have a great Sunday. News is next.